now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome. It's Matthew Tosh here. I'm back and I've been let loose again in the Shout Out studio. And it gives me great pleasure to be sitting alongside Steffi Barnett.
On this week's show, we introduce a new anti-bullying project, which is music at its core.
Certainly does. We hear from the Brigstow Project.
And Terry takes us through the top 10 picks from the LGBTQ publishing world.
Plus music and news. It's the place to be for the next hour. You've let me back in the studio again, Steffi. Very good. Thank you very much.
I did. Welcome.
It's part of my therapy, isn't it?
You did a good job last time, so why not?
Indeed. Now, and the team tonight, we say good evening to Lara, to Terry, and to Mitch.
Hello.
Good evening. Hi.
We're going to hear from them later in the show. I want to talk, though, at the top of the hour, because some very exciting news broke from India this morning, in that they have now decriminalised homosexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I heard it. What's really, really good about it is that they can't go back. They can't go back again because obviously this has happened before,
yeah.
And they, you know, got repealed and everything. And now it just can't be. This is the last time.
It was a very old colonial law as well.
It was really arbitrary.
Yeah, really
strange. It was imposed by the British colonies on India. So it's kind of, I love how like British people are celebrating, but it kind of was our fault. But anyway, it's really true.
That's really good. We did that to you, but my bad.
I don't know. But at least it's happened now and it's moving forward in the right direction. But come on.
I mean, it's such a massive
Can I just be devil's advocate here and say maybe it wasn't the Brits, maybe it was religion?
No, well, it was British people.
I don't think we helped.
I'm not saying we didn't help, but I'm sure it was part of it.
It was Christianity.
It's been peddled across a lot of nations, and especially when we impose it on a particular country. It's not really fair to then make like something they didn't have before, and then enforce it, and then celebrate when our laws are revoked. Like, I don't really see that as
almost like a pat on the back, isn't it, for doing something really bad.
Literally, I don't really understand how like it works, but at least it's happened now and I'm really happy for everyone that I know. I have friends that live there, so I'm very happy for them.
Yeah. And there's still a little bit of opposition, as you would expect, from some staunch religious groups, so it'll take a bit of time. I'm curious, it'd be interesting to see, will it send a message out to other countries which have yet to turn around their laws? Who knows?
Well, let's hope so.
Like, I mean, there were 73.
Look how big just how big India is. I mean, that's a lot of LGBTQ plus people that are going to be feeling like really happy now. You know, that
there's a list on our Twitter feed, by the way. If you want to just scroll down slightly, there's a complete list of all the countries that still haven't applied that law as India has today.
Hopefully it was a step in the right direction though.
Indeed. Now, as it's the first Thursday of the month, the Brigstow team is back and eager to get this month's message out. And I can see that they're champing at the bit to get going. So, without further ado,
my five on Shout Out.
Welcome to Brigstow 5. I'm Polly.
And I'm Alid. And together we are HIV's answer to Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman.
Fantastic. And you're Claudia. Right.
Yeah, Blades.
Blades.
Toads.
Fair. This month we are talking about something very important, which is funding for HIV services. Something that is, I guess, every charity is battling with a little bit at the minute, and HIV services in particular.
Yes, it is dramatically decreased over the years. When funding for research into medicines and treatment has increased, so they're completely at opposite ends of the spectrum right now. So it's a bit of an unusual time to be in when the two aren't marrying up, because with the advancements of us living longer, because of the treatment that we're on, that's more funding of services and support that we need. But if there was to ever come a time of a vaccine or an inoculation, let's say, or a cure, there's still going to be a large portion of people that are still going to be living with HIV at that moment in time. So funding is still as important as it ever was.
Yeah, totally agree. So in the UK, I think it's 2012, the government kind of took away this ring fencing for HIV services. And nationally, since then, we've seen closures in HIV service closures in cities, towns, districts across the UK. And in Bristol, in a sense, we're quite lucky because Brigstow is surviving and in some ways thriving.
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. I'd say
we are here.
Yeah, I'd say, not to be biased, but outside of London, if I was to be diagnosed anywhere in the UK, it would want to be Bristol.
Yeah.
A large portion of that is through the support that positive people get from Brigstow.
Yeah, well, that's really nice to hear.
It's truth.
Yeah. Some of you might remember that even like us last year, we were threatened with big funding cuts, local authority funding cuts, which fortunately we were kind of able to fight, but it's still... Funding continues to be a really big struggle for us to continue our services, to support our volunteers, to kind of do all the things we do.
So what can I do, I hear you cry?
That is the question.
That is the question.
That's the question. So if you're wondering what you can do to help us, to support our work, there are many, many things.
Money! Fundamental.
Give us money. No. Support our work. Receive our newsletter. Find out what's going on in the HIV world.
Follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. If you see that we're campaigning about a certain topic or something that's quite topical, then retweet us, share us, like us, spread our message, because there may be somebody out there that either needs us as support or can provide something to us, whether that's a skill, whether that's time, or whether that is a financial aspect. It all helps massively.
You could set up a regular donation to Brigstow.
You can.
So you could pop onto our website, click that little donate button, and set up a monthly payment to us of any amount. Just £5 per month means that a destitute client can get to the hospital to receive their HIV medication. That's an amazing gift to give.
Boom.
Some other things we've got going on that you might want to support. We have Castle Coombe 10K coming up on November 18th. It is long enough to train for a 10K before people, you know, just put up their feet. You can sign up. Again, there's a page on our website. You can sign up to that. It's going to be super fun. It's a great way to meet people and support our services. So dust off your running trainers and get involved.
For sure. Yes. I will support on the sidelines.
On the sidelines?
Yeah. I definitely won't be the one running. I can't run for a bus. But there are many ways. Go onto our website, go onto our Twitter and our social media pages, and the ways that you can get involved are limitless. So, yes, we won't turn you away.
Not at all. Okay, well, thanks for listening this time, guys, and we will be back next month with another edition.
We will. Take care. We will speak to you soon.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brigstow 5 with Polly Thiedham and Alid Osborne.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Gosh, so how hold a note like that is amazing. What a powerful voice. Liking
that.
Amazing stuff.
Everyone likes it.
It gets me feeling good.
It is. Me too. Music has certainly the power to change the way we feel, and it's quite apt that our feature this week is about a project called Power of Music.
Now, this is an anti-bullying project, and Steffi, you spoke to two people involved earlier in the week for us, didn't you?
I spoke to Cece Sammy, who heads up the project, and I spoke to her on the phone, along with the singer, Luena Martinez, and after this, we will be playing the track.
Hmm, well, let's have a listen.
Hi.
Finally.
It's that Monday day, you see.
It is, and our phones probably haven't been used all weekend, Lex, so it's the first phone in, so they didn't want to wake up. Cece Sammy, tell me a bit about your background. Now, you're involved with coaching, aren't you, on X Factor and The Voice?
Well, I've worked on many programs, actually, for many years. I shall not give my age away, but yes, I have...
I tell you, I've got a photograph here, and you look really young.
No, I've been doing it for literally 23 years working in the business.
Wow.
So that gives away my age, really. But yes, I have a wonderful company where I've worked on several television shows for years, but at the moment, there are several other things that I'm doing. So actually, I'm not doing X Factor right now. I've just finished working on a film with Idris Elba, where I work with a lot of different actors and actresses with how they speak and sing within different songs, basically. But my company still has many coaches that work on a lot of these different television programs.
That sounds really, really interesting. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, obviously, we're pressed for time, so we won't go on asking you about questions about Idris Elba, which I'd like to. to the serious issue of bullying, which you want to talk about. Now, this is quite poignant, considering that Jamal Miles committed suicide, a 9-year-old in Denver, Colorado. When he came out as gay, he was mercilessly bullied. Please tell us what you hope to do in with youth empowerment and the schools tour, the anti-bullying schools tour.
For me, it's really important to use music as a tool. It's the one thing that we all have in common. We love different styles of music, but the fact is, we love that. And so for me, it's really important to bring out that youth empowerment in schools, whereby we have other young people who are going in to do these performances, but then speaking directly to them. And that's what it's about. That's what Power of Music is about for me. I've got this wonderful singer from X Factor, Luena Martinez, and
Hello.
She did the song Fire. And in going around to the schools, she'll be speaking directly to these kids about the issues that she has had and how music saved her.
Okay, now Luena, we're going to be playing your track straight after this. Now, I have heard it, and it is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And it does move you. It does put the point across.
Okay.
What is your part of this? You're going to be part of the team, I guess, going around the schools and colleges. Are you going to be going to universities as well?
Yeah, we're trying to aim everyone, because bullying isn't just like at high school or at primary. It's sad, because everyone has a part in it, I guess. Everyone has experienced it. Even when you're an adult, there's still bullying. It might not be the same as primary school. And then we've done Fusion. We did Fusion actually yesterday, which was really cool. And it's just been really great. We've done Steps Tour. So we're trying to spread the word to everyone, not just
and using
children.
Music as well to do it,
exactly.
Which obviously moves people, because tracks tend to make people's lives, don't they? When you look back at your life, you look at a track and that reminds you of a moment in time. I'm not condoning bullying, but when the experts say they look back at bullies, there's issues there of bullying to the bullies from the home. So are you being involved in that?
Yes, that's the one part of the key of what we're doing. The issue is, at the schools, on the school tour, they're reaching out to the kids who have been bullied, but also to bring education to the people who have been bullying, because some of these people don't realize it. They think it's a normal way of speaking to each other. And so
is that confusing banter with bullying? Because there's a thin line, isn't there? But it's because you knew each other. Now, I suppose if somebody new come in, they would take that as bullying. So there has to be a middle ground, which must be very awkward for you.
Exactly. And also with the whole social media aspect of things, you know, we see hate comments every day, you know, like and they might confuse it with being real, but really it's not being real. You're not being very nice, and I think people really need to think about how they speak to people, because there's not enough love. I think they just don't. They're not in touch with how they would feel. They don't speak, you know, how they don't speak to people how they would want to be spoken to.
Do you think that's do you think that's because of social media? Do you think distancing people from each other, and so they're looking at a screen, and so they're not looking at a person's eyes, so they're completely disconnected from society and think they can lash out?
Exactly. Like with social media, we don't put our bad stuff on there, do we? We put the shiny aspect of our life.
We do, and our photographs, we always make sure they're good.
Exactly. Exactly. So no one sees the tears behind the screen. And that's really, it's really sad, but you know, you're not going to put that out there, are you?
But that's why this is great, because we're having an open discussion between the people so that they can talk and say, this is actually something that hurt me. This is something that made me feel so terrible. And then to use examples of people that we've seen in social media, where we've seen the breakdowns that have happened, the suicides that have happened, the hiding that has happened. And I think, I mean, I come from that place where, for me, it's, we can talk about it, but by action, we've got to start making the change. Many people say they don't like the social media, but now let's make the change within social media.
Absolutely.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. Now, there's a disproportionate amount of LGBTQ people that seem to be bullied, and case in point is the 9-year-old Jamel Miles.
Yes.
Are you engaging with LGBTQ community and the fact that there's quite an awful lot of homophobia and transphobia in schools?
Absolutely.
Usually initiated from parents.
Yes, it does. And that's the key. That's why I'm saying it's about everyone. It's not just the kids, but it's the parents, it's the teachers, and letting them know that everyone is allowed to be different and they shouldn't have to feel bad about this. And that's why I bring it back. Music, it's a way to express these feelings and for people to learn to accept each other as we are.
Mm-hmm. And like, even when we've done the tours, people have come up to us and started crying and things. It's been all different types of issues, and we've spoken to them. Like, it's not a thing where we can, like, you know, cure everything at once, but there needs to be a starting point, and that's to accept yourself for who you are, and then from there make the changes.
Absolutely. You're going to be doing a tour. Where are you next, and where are you heading?
Well, we're in London, and then we go across the country. I really don't know all the places.
they start basically, they're doing every aspect in London. So in London, it's north, south, east and west.
Okay.
Then they start going up north. Then they go to Wales. I mean, it's literally everywhere, because my whole point is I don't want it to be just specific places. It's for everyone in our country.
That's good
and
to hear.
And making people know that everyone matters.
Yeah, because obviously we're not just talking about bullying for straight kids. We're talking about LGBTQ kids, but also BAME. They get a hit as well from bullying and racial prejudice. Will you be tackling that as well?
Absolutely, all of those areas. And I think I bring it back to, I know I keep repeating myself, but it comes back to the education. You know, there's the anti-bullying campaign, but there's also the mental awareness, because this is what people don't realize. They think it's okay to say, if you tick our box, then you're okay. And that's why the message has to be taken throughout the whole country, but to different areas of what people are struggling with and feeling that they should hide. And they should not hide. I want people to know that you can be who you are, and that brings 100% for all of us.
Right. Time's run out for us, I'm afraid. If people want to go to an event or get more involved, have you got a website?
So we're on all social media, The Power of Music. The Power of Music is the website, powermusic.com.
Music as in a Z and a K. M-U-Z-I-K.
Ah, okay. I'm glad you clarified that.
And please join in. Like, get in contact with us, because we want other people to come and be a part of singing, getting involved, and being the power of music to make that change.
Well, let me just say, this interview will be going out on Shout Out, the LGBTQ magazine show that goes out throughout the Southwest on 8 stations,
Great.
Including this one. Really glad that you're joining the push.
Yes, and I want to tell all of you out there that are listening to this, be you and be proud of being you.
Okay. Thank you both. Thank you both. Thank you. And good luck, or break a leg.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Ooh. Now, you might not have heard that before. It's called Fire, and it's by the collective known as Power of Music.
Lovely. I love that. We did play it for the first time on Monday, and I'll be playing it on my show tomorrow. I love that track. I really do. It's the power of music, isn't it?
It is. And the vocalist was Lorena Martinez, isn't it?
Yes.
And she was one of the people that you were speaking to in your interview before the track.
Yes. So it's for a good cause. So get out there and start downloading that one.
We should probably remind you what the website is as well, which is
Power of Music. So it's just the power of music. .com, and Power of Music is also the tagline for all their social media, so Facebook, Twitter.
And it's ZIK in music, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. Hello, news team.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Did you enjoy that song?
It was beautiful.
It was very twinkly.
Very good. Has it put you in a suitable mood for reading this evening's news?
Well, yeah, I feel like the power of music is in me now.
Excellent. Am right.
I'm good, good, good. That's what
I'm
we
ready,
like to hear.
I'm ready to do some spitting some lyrics.
Drop those headlines.
Drop those headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 6th of September.
And today's breaking story is that India has decriminalised homosexual relationships. Listen back to our topper show for more details.
The Jewish Chronicle newspaper reports on a new biography of Harvey Milk, out in time for the 40th anniversary of his assassination. Lillian Faderman, the acclaimed lesbian reviewer and woman of letters, has turned her pen to understand the background to how Milk became the first openly gay man to be elected to public office in the United States. Although he rejected organised religion, Faderman argues that Milk was acutely aware of his Jewish heritage, and the persecution of the European Jews was something that provided motivation for his work in uniting diverse communities in San Francisco under a rainbow banner.
Sky News reports that gay raconteur and television presenter Stephen Fry has revealed he's still glad to be in the world as he turns 60. Mr. Fry underwent surgery for prostate cancer earlier this year and has become an outspoken figure encouraging boys and men to take their health seriously. Fry is a much-loved TV personality, and over 30 years he's presented many acclaimed programmes, including an ecological documentary called Last Chance to See and his travel log of journeys in the United States. He's best known perhaps as the presenter for many years of the top BBC Two quiz programme QI. He was succeeded in his role by lesbian comic and actor Sandy Toksvig, but earlier episodes starring Fry are still being broadcast by Dave Television Network.
BBC Radio 4, the Public Broadcasting Corporation's main speech network, has announced that several programmes linked by the subject of sexuality and consent will be broadcast over the next few months. Jamila Jamil will look at what consent looks like in the modern world with internet and dating apps everywhere. Tom Whipple from the Times newspaper will be considering scientific evidence that appears to show that males may have a higher sex drive than females and will discuss the implications with psychiatrists, sexologists and philosophers. And finally, the artist Amar McBride will be looking at the portrayal of coercion.
Atheist web magazine The Free Thinker reports that the usual suspects are up in arms after a progressive Portland-based ice cream manufacturer, which donates part of its profits to radical and feminist causes, launched a pop-up ice cream flavour which donates profits to NARAL, a grassroots initiative that advocates for abortion care and works to elect pro-choice officials. Barry Nuke, correspondent for The Freethinker, reported that the fundamentalists have been fulminating at the flavour, which was available for 10 days at the end of August. NARAL reports that much-needed funds have been raised by the kind profit-sharing of the ice cream manufacturer, to whose website we have linked via our own.
BBC Radio Cornwall has reported that one of the Celtic Peninsula's most beloved writers, Daphne du Maurier, is now understood to have been bisexual. She enjoyed a relationship with the wife of the Doubleday book publisher, and Doubleday Books, of course, is still going strong. Du Maurier, who died in 1989, wrote in a code for her dalliances with men and women, and this has only come to light in the decades following her death.
The Bristol Comic and Zine Fair is coming. The event will take place on Saturday, 6th of October, all afternoon at the Station Youth Hub, a lively community space well used by all sorts of non-profit organisations. The fair celebrates independent publishing, which, despite the rise of the internet, is still alive and kicking. What has this got to do with LGBT plus people, you may ask? Well, from the early days of the gay press in the 1950s in America, there has always been a strong link between alternative media and queer titles. Even the venerable and now glossy Gay Times magazine started life way back in June 1972 as a duo-toned newspaper printed on Radical Press, owned by the Socialist Worker Party. Many LGBT people, alongside and others in our community, fall under the rainbow banner, have found their voice through these publications.
And finally, an icon of high camp has passed away. The actor Jacqueline Pierce died at home surrounded by family and friends, according to BCFM Radio's nostalgia host Martin Spellacy. Pierce is perhaps best known to a generation of gay and lesbian fans as Servalan, the glamorous and ruthless head of the evil Federation in the 1970s sci-fi classic Blake 7, which ran on BBC One. As The Guardian put it this week, with her shock of cropped black hair, her vampish evening dresses and her witty dialogue, she was an immediate hit and oft-quoted by acerbic gay boys. Here's to you, Jacqueline.
For these news stories and more, check out our excellent website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Mitch McMorrow.
Shoutout News. National and international LGBT news for you. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's it, Steffi, get your legs up. Kicking, yep. And Laura's doing it as well.
Woo! Look at her go.
Ouch. So, I gather you're not familiar with this version of the tune.
No, I've not heard this one before. Andy Williams.
Andy Williams did it, and Pet Shop Boys did a cover version as well, Where the Streets Have No Name. Yeah. It's Can't Take My Eyes Off You, and the group here is the Boys Turn Gang from the end of the 1970s, I believe.
Yeah, that early, wow.
That early, yeah. From the boys, disco era. The
Boys
disco
Town
era.
Obviously references, you know, the gay club scenes in New York and San Francisco. Yeah, yeah, that's what they're short
very much
for.
So, yeah. Yeah. It feels anthemic anyway, so I thought I'd bring that out. But music's really good. We talked about music earlier. We talked about the project, about the anti-bullying project, about music there, Power of Music. But there's also some very thematic music that we're going to be delving into as we talk about the top 10 LGBT books. Now, Terry's standing by, and he's just handed us this list, hot off the press. So if we're going to do a countdown, there's only one way we can do it, really, isn't it?
Backwards.
Well, I would if I had my list. It's all gone wrong. The pressure. Right, here we go. Love is Love, at number 10, by various artists and writers, a graphic novel.
Number 9, Logic Family, a memoir by Armistead Maupin.
At number 8, it's My Trans Sisters, edited by Charlie Craggs.
Number 7, Less by Andrew Sean Greer.
Moonstruck Volume 1 is in at number 6, Magic to Brew by Grace Ellis, Shebe, or Kate Leith, Caitlin Quirk, and Caitlin Cowles.
Number 5, The Oberon Book of Queer Monologues, edited by Scotty.
You've got to wait for the bit of music there, haven't you? Right, okay, so number 4, Conundrum by Jan Morris. Difficult, isn't it?
Number 3, Leah on the Offbeat by Becky Arbertalli.
And Good As You is in at number 2. From Prejudice to Pride.
Have you finished now?
30 Years of Gay Britain by Paul Flynn.
Give me the build up. Get the volume up. And at number 1, The Miseducation of Cameron Post by Emily Danforth. Terry Starr, take it away.
Over to you, Terry. Can't cope with all this.
Oh, Terry.
Thank you so much. I think that was the most wonderful introduction to the book slot. As always, our LGBT top 10 books for the summer was compiled by News From Nowhere Cooperative Bookshop up in Liverpool. They're at number 96 Bold Street. They're online as well. You can buy any of these titles from them.
Okay.
And they're also one of the few remaining women's cooperative bookshops run by a women's collective. So well worth supporting. Now, what do we think, people? What books have immediately jumped out at us? There's quite a mixture there.
Okay. I'm going to go with Moonstruck because...
No, that yeah. appealed to me
I
as well.
I love fantasy and I love lesbians, you know.
Let me tell you a little bit about it. In the little college town of Blytheton, fantasy creatures live cosy, normal lives right alongside humans, and the werewolf barista Julie strives to be one of the most normal of all. But all heck breaks loose when she and her new girlfriend Selena go on a disastrous date that ends with the magician casting a horrible spell on their friend Chet. And now it's up to the team of mythical pals to stop the illicit illusionist before it's too late. This is recommended for readers of 12 plus. So if you're a teacher and you want to get some LGBT plus content in schools, it's a good idea because everyone loves fantasy.
Sounds really good.
It includes like lesbian heroines and gender fluid centres.
I think I want to get it.
Yeah, I need it. Should we share it?
Should we share it? Yeah,
definitely.
Right. Fabulous. That's right. One on our reading list.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. Who's choosing next?
Mitch. Oh, Stephanie.
No, Mitch, you go.
Oh, well, apart from Moonstruck, I would have actually... I like monologues, so I was going to go for the Oberon Book of Monologues edited by Scotty because I kind of like the queer monologues, the speaking word, and it interests me because those are the kind of things that you could actually perform as well, monologues.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, no, so, sounds amazing.
And we don't get enough of the queer voice in that. So...
If I remember rightly, Scotty is quite big on the sort of alternative cabaret scene down in London.
Yeah,
he's been featured in Boys newspaper and various other publications as well. I'll read you a little bit about this one. It combines stage plays with spoken word and performance art and is an anthology featuring over 40 extracts from some of the most exciting stage works in the English-speaking world. It's an essential tool for artists seeking monologues for auditions or training and a comprehensive guide through the hidden history of queer theatre, as well, of course, as being a celebration of the LGBTQIA+ communities.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So well.
That sounds like a good purchase as well.
Yeah.
Steffi.
Number 7 for me, Less by Andrew Sean Greer. It was the winner of the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 2018. I just like the sound of that one.
Yes, Arthur Less is a failed novelist about to turn 50. A wedding invitation arrives in the post. It is from an ex-boyfriend of 9 years who is engaged to someone else. Arthur can't say yes, it would be too awkward. He can't say no, it would look like defeat. So he begins to accept the invitations on his desk to half-baked literary events around the world. From France to India, Germany to Japan, Arthur almost falls in love, almost falls to his death, and puts miles between him and the plight he refuses to face. Sounds like a really nice novel, doesn't it?
I like that. Yeah. That's my second one.
You're allowed as many as you like. Matthew.
Right, I'm going to go... Well, I'm a bit of a comic fan, going back to my youth. I quite like the sound, the concept of Love is Love.
Yeah.
So that was at number 10. I know there's a sad side to it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the comic industry's tribute to people who were killed in the Pulse nightclub massacre in June 2016. I have actually had a quick flick through that one because it's stocked by Excelsior Comics, the independent comic shop over on Bond Street, and it does look absolutely brilliant. It's such a lovely celebration of all of us that fall under the rainbow community. So
I gather beautiful. That their work's been, it's been donated, so the comics, the writers, the artists and the editors, they've gone for the whole charity thing, and all the proceeds are going to the victims, survivors and their families.
Absolutely wonderful.
Wow. Good stuff.
So sad but a nice
so that's nice. That's what caught my eye.
And I'll tell you what caught my eye, actually, as well, going back into a little bit of a historical note, is that Jan Morris's book Conundrum has been republished. Now, she was a well-loved travel writer, and this was first published in 1974 looks at her travelogues from around the world. So, in essence, it's not directly LGBT relevant, except that Jan Morris led an extraordinary life because... she transitioned from male to female in the 1970s and 80s when, attitudes were different, and the trans community and the LGBT community as well were all a little bit, under the thumb of more repressive, shall we say, attitudes and so on. So that sounds like a really good book to me. So that's going to be first published in 1974, Conundrum by Jan Morris.
Your lists actually start affecting my bank balance when I look at your list, because you do.
Oh,
you start picking out some good things. I think I must buy that, must have a go at that, try that one.
Or why don't we just start a library here, and then we can come and share it. This
library.
Is a student kind of life.
Share the library. Let's get it on.
I think it's an important point that, not everyone can afford new books because they are pricey, as we all know. But I have to say, Bristol Central Library has a brilliant LGBT plus section. They source all their books from another really good bookstore called Gaze the Word down in London, another place worth visiting if you're passing by Bloomsbury anytime. And they always have the latest LGBT plus titles. And if they haven't, they will order it for you. They are fabulous.
Wow. And I guess that's the point for people in our sort of more rural locations that are listening to the show. If you're lucky enough to still have a library nearby or a mobile library that comes to visit you, it's certainly worth asking to see if they can order it in for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
good stuff.
They will do. So thank you guys, that was absolutely fabulous.
Well, thank you, Terry.
Great list.
At the latest publishing, and we will do the same again sort of the end of November as we look towards what's in the charts. In the top 10 rundown before late autumn.
We won't mention the C word, but coming
no,
up...
No, far too. We're not even going to make... The, yes. Not
Head
even going to mention Halloween.
Please yes. don't. Winter, I'm Scrooge, and not the C word is completely bad.
Just don't get me to do one of those countdowns again. That's really high stress doing that.
You did well, Matthew.
Did I do all right?
Yeah, you did survived. Well. Right. I liked it.
I like countdowns.
From Michelle herself, straight from the mouth.
Terry, thank you very much for doing that. We really appreciate
My
it.
My pleasure,
very, very
as
interesting.
Always.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout Out.
LGBT Radio for you.
Oh gosh, the time does race away with you on this show. It is near the end of the show. We're going to talk about one story in the closing minutes of the show. Steffi, what's the details? It's banking related, isn't it?
It is banking related. Related. A trans woman's bank account was frozen because she sounded like a man. Now I can relate to this because it's actually happened to me as well. Now this woman banks with Santander. I bank with Halifax. And it sounds like a similar story, and I've heard many, many other stories similar to that.
Presumably this is the telephone banking thing, isn't it?
So you phone up, you give all your security answers, but they still don't believe you because your voice, you don't sound female, or you don't sound male. It's very binary with banks, and if you don't sound the gender that you're supposed to be, then they will just block your account.
You ain't sounding right, you're not getting in.
Yeah, so she had to do exactly what I did, and I had to travel across town from North Bristol Burbs down into the centre, go into the Halifax, take your passport, your driving licence, utility bill. What was good is when I did get to the Halifax, the woman there at the local branch was absolutely gassed. She was so angry at her security division that they're still looking at, what is wrong with these people, that they've never heard of transsexuals or... So it does beg a belief in this day and age that they're just relying on a voice. Even though you give all the answers to the security questions, they still say, sorry, computer says no.
And that's the main thing, isn't it? That you've given all the security answers. So that
exactly,
shouldn't, it shouldn't
Mitch.
Make a difference what you sound like.
So I think if they were going to do voice recognition, they should do a, record your voice. Doing the security question and then refer back to that, so it's not what gender you sound like, it's whether you sound like you.
But I think the point here is they're not doing voice recognition per se. You've got all your other security questions, and the issue here is it because it says on your account that you're female, you don't sound like a female, so I don't believe you.
No, but that's the thing, it should be about you as a person. It's your account, so it should be your voice. So if you go into branch, you have all your details, as Steffi did, and then they record you speaking, that should then be used as a security measure. measure, not whether you sound like the gender you're meant to sound like. Because I know women that have like lower voices, and whether they're transsexual or not transsexual, it doesn't really matter. Like, it shouldn't be judged on that. That's how I feel like they should get around it. But obviously, no one's thinking along these lines.
No, it's a good idea, actually.
I had a housemate who had a very similar thing. He's got a very high voice. He sings first tenor in a choir, and was refused access to an account as well. Similar sort of thing. Had a grovelling apology from the bank afterwards. So yeah, it can work in all sorts of circumstances.
Can I just say, one of the other downsides of the report on the BBC website was the fact that they showed a photograph of this woman before she transitioned, which is a bit hurtful. The only thing is, they obviously can't show photographs unless they get permission. The good thing is that they've removed it.
I'm just looking at the
website feed now, and that photograph of her before transition has been removed.
So maybe they didn't get permission.
Maybe not, Mitch. Maybe not. But it is a shock that they would do that side by side. Like, there's an issue with it. What's that got? What relevance is that to the story?
The fact is, it's been changed, isn't it? It all does go very quickly, doesn't it? We're coming to the end of the show for another week. I hope you've enjoyed it. Now, to find the links on the this week's show, what do we need to do, Steffi?
We need to go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. That's where
we need to go. That was seamless, wasn't it? Next week, we'll be talking about politics and how it affects the LGBTQ community. For now, though, from Steffi, from me, and the rest of the team, we say goodbye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.